introduction to the Ten Commandments. And good news is we are going to spend months in the Ten Commandments. Months. That means you are going to go kind of very in depth because we need it. Because maybe we never have been exposed to this, we need it. So, we are going to learn a lot about obedience to the Lord. We are going to learn a lot about love to the Lord. And we are going to learn really every single commandment more in depth. Alright, today what I'm going to do is just to give an introduction to the Ten Commandments. The question is, are the commandments of the law applied to the New Testament today? That's a very broad question. There are so many churches say that the Old Testament laws does not apply to us as we are living in the times of grace. There are other churches like the Seventh-day Adventists say we need to obey the laws of the Old Testament, and of course you will see that they don't eat certain foods, and so the question is, are the laws in the Old Testament prohibited for the church today or not? That's a very broad question. Why I ask that broad question is that's the way the church is presenting the question. They don't get into little details. They don't know much about the law to know the details. So, what about the law of God? This is where there's a lot of confusion in the church. It's not been taught. That's why we don't know the Ten Commandments. Of course, there are certain foods like pork, shrimps, and other kinds of foods that are prohibited to eat in the according to the Old Testament law. So, if the law is applied, we should not eat those foods. And if it is not applied, then we should eat. It doesn't matter. So, also in the Old Testament, it says even when it comes to clothing, the laws were given to wear clothing. It says here in Leviticus, you don't have to turn with me. I mean, we'll be going to these scriptures later. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall wear a garment with mixed linen. So if you are wearing polyester and cotton, that's against the law of God. That's the law of God. So are these laws applied to us today? Now the question is getting, we are getting more narrow now to answer the questions. What about when it says, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false testimony, or not lie to one another, nor murder. Is it applied today? So what's the difference between, it says, you shall not wear a garment mixed with linen, and you shall not eat pork or shrimps, or you shall not lie, or you shall not murder. What's the difference here? Which ones to obey and which ones not to? Are we going to apply the whole law? Are we going to take what we like? Or what we don't like, we throw it out? Oh, the church is in confusion when it comes to this. Which ones you want to keep and which ones you want to throw? Basically, the Old Testament, I'm talking here, basically, the Old Testament, the laws in the Old Testament can be divided, I'm talking very basic, into two. One is called the ceremonial law. Number two, what is it? The moral law. What is a ceremonial law? What is a ceremonial law? A ceremonial law is something, it is called more like an external law. You would call it, it's a ritual, it's a ceremony. And is the ceremonial law, are the ceremonial laws applied to us today? Yes or no? No. Now, let us see some of the ceremonial laws in the Old Testament. I'm going to first go through the ceremonial laws, then I'm going to go through the moral laws, so we will distinguish the difference between the ceremonial laws and the moral laws. Now, we are going to study some scriptures on the ceremonial laws first, before we understand of the moral law. Now, let us turn to Leviticus chapter 19, as I was in Leviticus chapter 19. Oh, by the way, we are going through the book of Romans, that small portion of the book of Romans where it says about the law. And Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 to 10. Leviticus chapter 19, 9 to 10 says here, therefore, now, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Now, how many people are observing this law today? Nobody. So that means, then goes to verse 10, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, these are ceremonial laws in the Old Testament. These are external laws. Turn with me to Leviticus 19:23. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. When you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, when you shall count their fruit as uncircumcised, 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you, it shall not be eaten. Verse 27. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. That's the law. How many are doing that? So these are external laws. So I just want to show you just a little bit example of the external laws, the ceremonial laws. Now, we believe that the ceremonies and the symbols of the law, it ceased, it stopped at the coming of Christ. So the ceremonial laws are ceased, meaning is stopped at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That all the shadows of the laws were accomplished in Christ. So that the use of them must be abolished as Christians. So we don't use them. Because they are ceremonial laws. Yet the truth of the law and the substance of it, it remains with us in Jesus Christ. Now, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 10. How the ceremonial laws were imposed until the coming of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Then, indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and earthly sanctuary. It's talking about ceremonial laws. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with its gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Verse 8. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. 9. It was a symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices were offered, which cannot make him who performed the services perfect in regard to the conscience. See verse 10. Concerned only with the foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed, what? Until the time of Reformation. See that? So all these ceremonial laws were imposed until the time of the Reformation. Verse 11 says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of the creation. So he goes on to say how the crucifixion of Christ, how he fulfilled those were all shadows, and they were there, the ceremonial law, until the coming of Christ. So we don't have to obey the ceremonial laws anymore. You understand now what's the ceremonial law? You don't have to obey the ceremonial laws anymore. So there was a Reformation, the coming of Christ. So the Reformation, the burdensome that you need to obey all these ceremonies and the rituals accomplished in Christ. Now the substance and types are directed to Christ, because the perfection is found in Christ. He's the only one who can perfect the law. So the ceremonial law was the schoolmaster. The ceremonial law was the schoolmaster giving direction to Christ, leading to Christ. It's a schoolmaster giving direction and leading to Christ. But when the fullness of the time came, we don't need a schoolmaster anymore. Do we? To direct us and... No, we don't need a schoolmaster anymore when the fullness of the time came. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. What happened to the people in Galatians? Here, there were Judaizers, you know, who came to the knowledge of Christianity, then they went back again to the ceremonial law. So, as Christians, we should not go back again to the legalism, ceremonial law. And Galatians chapter 3, Paul is rebuking them, saying, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Because Jesus became and fulfilled all that was, and ceremonial law is abolished. Now they are going back to the ceremonial law. So Paul calls them foolish Galatians. This only, verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? So ceremonial law is a lot of works there. Then he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Can never perfect the ceremonial law in your flesh. It's impossible. Only Christ could do it. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, okay, then go to verse 24. Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law was our tutor, meaning our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We need that, huh? Imputation, righteousness. Then verse 25 says, but after faith has come, we no longer under a tutor. We don't need a tutor anymore. See that? Alright. So these were all shadows of things to come. And the substance is of Christ. Understand? The substance is of Christ. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Chapter 2, 17. Says here, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. The word substance, the word substance comes from the verb, comes from the word sub. Sub means what? Under. What's the good word? Submarine. Marines are where? Under. I don't know how the submarine sandwich came, but sub is under. Okay. So, it means under. Underneath of the ceremonial law is who? Is Christ. So, pointing to Christ, who is the perfection of the law. Read Colossians chapter 2 verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Now, Sabbath here is not talking on the Sabbath day. Okay? It's totally another subject I will be covering when it comes to the fourth commandment. So the ceremonial laws have been nailed to the cross. It's been abolished in Christ Jesus. Let me give you more scriptures. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. But I'm going to go through just a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 10, if you read the book of Hebrews, talks about a lot on the ceremonial laws that has been abolished. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. You don't have to go through those sacrifices year by year, year by year. Now turn to verse 12. But this man, talking about the Lord, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 13. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. One offering, one sacrifice was abolished forever. So no more ceremonial laws. And give you another scripture here. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. Ephesians 2, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. You can remember the book of Acts chapter 10, how Peter was a Jew, and of course there was so much involved in the ceremonial law when it comes to food and drinks. And Acts chapter 10 verse 9, turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Peter felt very hungry. Verse 10 says, Acts chapter 10 verse 10, starting from verse 9. The next day they went on to the journey, drew near to the city. Peter went up on the house to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open, an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down on the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And voice came to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common are unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So in the Old Testament, the worship of the Lord, if you can remember the ceremonial laws, in the Old Testament, where was the worship of the Lord? On what country? It was in one country, right? Worship of the Lord was in one country. Where? In one place. Right? Because one country, one place, to be more specific, where? It's in the altar. Well, now, so in the Old Testament, worship of the Lord was in one country, the Jewish nation, one place, got to go to the tabernacle, got to go to the altar, one place. With the coming of Christ, this was abolished. Turn with me to Isaiah. Actually, there was a prophecy, Isaiah chapter 11. There are so many scriptures, but I want to just go through as this just an introduction. Isaiah chapter 11. and 10. Isaiah 11:10 says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be what? Glorious." So there is a day that's it's going to be his worship place. It's not going to be bound to one country, to one place, or to one certain particular place. Return with me to John chapter 4. Verse 20. Chapter 4, 20. Even become more clearer. The Samaritan woman, verse 20 says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." So the Jews said, "But you have to worship the Lord is where? It has to be in Jerusalem. It has to be in the temple. It had to go to the altar for sacrifices." So one country, one place, and the altar. That's it. Now Jesus said, verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship that you do not know, for we know that we worship for salvation is of the Lord, but the hour is coming, now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship. For God is spirit, and those who worship, he must worship in spirit and truth." Now, there's not one country, there's not one place, there's not one particular place he had to come, it's all over. So the ceremonial law has been abolished. So, the Bible says, there's a scripture in the book of Corinthians, I believe, wherever the Spirit is, there is freedom now. For us. So, the old ceremonial covenants are shadows of things that were ceased in Christ Jesus, and the Old Testament foretold of the new covenant that was going to come. So, coming of the new covenant.